A new report slots Georgia third in the nation for credit card debt. The website creditcards.com figured the average credit card debt and the median income in each state. And in this case, being high on that list is bad news, if you didn't get that. Here to talk about this is Cecily Welch. She's a financial advisor in Atlanta. Hi, Cecily.
Hello, Celeste.
Surprised by this, that we have so much credit card debt here?
I'm not. And what I think is important to point out is that the statistics show that Georgia is the third highest credit card burden, not necessarily just debt. And that's important because it's a ratio of income to the amount of debt that someone has, not just the...
Right. We're not talking about the total, the
exactly.
amount. You own $1 million on credit card debt, though. I don't know anybody who owes $1 million, a lot. But how much that is in relation to your income.
Exactly. So the actual dollars, the U.S. average credit card debt is about $505,000. $5,500, and the average Georgia debt is about $5,900, which are pretty close. But when you look at it in relation to income, the credit card burden, how hard is it for Georgians to pay that balance? Is significantly harder than compared with other portions of the country.
And one has to imagine that because income inequality is so high in Georgia, that for some people, that percentage of burden, the percentage there of their paycheck that's supposed to go to credit cards is actually much higher.
Exactly, Celeste. And that's really what I think this article is speaking to. When studies like this come out, people always speak to, and it's often a point of conversation, well, people need to have better personal responsibility. They need to live within their means. That, of course, is prudent. That's prudent financial management. But that ignores some significant factors that individuals have no control over.
Such as?
Such as child care cost, health care cost. All of those types of costs are not scalable. They're not in relation to how much you make. If you make $60,000 a year, or $200,000 a year, your child care cost is your child care cost. In Georgia, the average child care cost is $7,600 for one child.
Per year.
Per year. Multiply that if you have multiple children. Health care costs,
newsflash, they don't give you a break on the second kid.
No, they don't. So you have no control over that. So personal responsibility, you have no impact on that. If Georgia's median income is $30,000 and $7,600 is going towards child care, then you have housing. The average housing rate in Georgia is about $9,900. I got this information from the Economic Policy Institute.
Right.
And Georgia is ranked as the 16th lowest in terms of income, but 26th lowest in terms of housing. So the ratio is off. So we might be low in income, but our housing costs are not equivalently low.
Right. And many of the other costs we've mentioned here, and we'll talk about this week, is the utility bills are higher in Atlanta than any other city in the country. So there
exactly.
are costs here that while people think about the cost of living being low, there are things that are higher here.
Absolutely. And when you're looking at a time period when wages have been stagnant for the past 15 years, we have simultaneously our wages are going down, relatively speaking. Georgia, it's down in the past 15 years. Our wages are 9% lower for real wages compared to now to 1999. But our expenses have increased significantly. I don't know about you, Celeste, but my expenses have not gone down in the past 15 years. But wages are stagnant. So when you add all that up, if I'm making $30,000 a year and from this money, I need to pay taxes, I need to live, I need to pay health insurance, I need to pay child care. I'm not even talking about student loan interest even. How does that gap get filled? It gets filled with credit cards.
So, and here's an important thing to remember, Cecily. What is the cascading effect? And by that, I mean when you have a large credit card burden, because it's a large in relation to your income, right? It makes your credit score drop. And then what happens when your credit score stops? What things are affected by a lower credit score?
A significant amount of things are impacted by your credit score, and whether they should or shouldn't be is debatable, but the fact is that they are. Your insurance is impacted by your credit
score. My car insurance?
Your car insurance, your homeowner's insurance. I have no idea why someone's credit is going to impact whether their house is more or less likely to get hit by lightning, but it is actually impacted by your credit score. The interest rate that you're going to get on your credit cards is impacted by your credit score. The mortgage you're going to get is impacted by your credit score.
What you pay for your car.
What you pay for your car. Whether or not you can get a decent job. There are a lot
many employers check your credit rating.
Exactly.
So what do you advise? I mean, you are a financial advisor.
Yes.
How do you get people out of that? Once they're in that situation, they've used their credit card to pay their hospital bill, say, mm-hmm. for example, or maybe they used it to pay for their child care, mm-hmm. and now they owe considerably more than they could ever pay. I assume you're not telling them to pay the minimum every month.
That is correct.
Because they will stay in that hole forever. So what do they do?
I give people advice in two buckets. The first bucket would be on a micro level. What do you do individually? What I recommend people do individually is first call their credit card company and ask to have the interest rate reduced. 90% of the time, if you ask, they'll do it. May not be significant. It may not be for a long period of time.
Okay, why? Why do they wait for you to ask and then just give it to you?
I would love to give you a good answer for that, Celeste, but I don't know. I mean, well, I shouldn't say I don't know. What I should say is they're in the business to make money.
Okay.
When you look at current interest rates, the current prime interest rate was 3.75 at the end of December, but the average credit card interest rate was over 15%. That's huge. Now, mind you, 15 years ago, you know, that's the benchmark I'd been using. Prime was 8.75, and the average credit card interest rate was only 14%.
So that gap has gotten bigger.
It's huge. It's huge. Our prime rate has gone down, but credit card interest rates have gone up.
Should I just keep new credit cards and transferring my balance to a zero interest for 12 months?
Because credit has relaxed a little bit, there are many more offers for the 0% interest. That's part of why it's easier now to reduce your rate, because credit card companies do not want you to change. If the person I'm working with is a disciplined financial person, I will recommend they roll over as much as they can to a 0% interest rate credit card, as well as call their current credit card company to reduce their rate. However, there's a limit to how often I will advise that, because if they are not a disciplined financial person, it is very difficult to keep track of multiple monthly payments, because then you'll end up with a late fee, which is going to mitigate any cost savings you have on interest rate.
And do you have to have a stellar credit score to get one of those 0%?
No. You usually can get several offers to have 0% interest rate cards. You just won't have a high credit limit. That's why I said the duplicate advice of call your current company, have the rate reduced, and then also get a card that has a 0%, because more likely than not, the new card is not going to have the same credit limit as the one that you have.
And why do we not pay the minimum? Why is it not a good idea to pay the minimum balance every month?
If you pay the minimum balance every month, you will never get out of debt. You pay a significant amount of interest instead of towards the principal.
Right. So I'm never actually working away at the actual debt.
Exactly. It's like having a perpetual car lease. You never own the car, but you're constantly paying for it. It's the same thing with credit card and only paying the minimum amount. You will not get yourself out of the hole. There's a higher and better use for your money besides paying for something that you've already purchased. To the extent possible, I would love for people to recognize there's such thing as good debt and bad debt. Good debt shows you where you're going. Bad debt shows you where you've been.
Is credit card debt ever good debt?
It's necessary debt sometimes. If I have a medical cost and can't afford it, if I break my leg, I need to get that taken care of. And if I don't have an emergency fund, it's necessary, yes.
So do you end up getting a lot of customers? You're a financial advisor, and then here's Georgia with the third highest credit card debt.
Yes.
Burden, I should say, in the country. Do you end up having to work through these solutions with a lot of people here?
I do. In addition to being a financial advisor, I'm also a CPA. And so the bulk of my practice actually is working with people in their tax planning and tax compliance, which relates to how they're doing in their total financial picture.
Including their credit cards.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we have about 30 seconds left. So what is my ideal relationship to my credit card companies? A zero balance?
No, because a zero balance is actually detrimental to your credit score.
Cecily.
It is. You do. It's a very complex relationship. I'm actually an advocate of a lot of the monitoring services, because it gives you information in addition to just what your credit score is. And so it's in one place where you can see what went up, what went down, where are my balances. You can see it in one place instead of accessing every individual card.
That is Atlanta financial advisor Cecily Welch. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Celeste.